sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great, how great is our God. Age to age he stands, and time is in his hands. Beginning and the end, beginning and the end. Our God is truly one. He is the Father, Spirit, Son. Would you sing with me, how great
our God,
and all will see how great is our God. Would you sing with me,
sing it with me one more time.
How great is our God. Would you sing with me?
Yahweh
is our God,
and all will see
how great is our God. We serve a great God. You are so good. Hallelujah. Jesus, we love
you. Jesus, thank you, Jesus.
We worship you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If you guys want to just greet each other, and of course, the offering plate is in the back as we sing this next song.
Of the blind, there's no one like you, there's none like you.
Into the darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise, there's no one like you, there's none like you.
Our God is greater, our God is stronger. You are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power.
Our God, water you turned into wine.
Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. There's none like you.
Into the darkness you shine.
There's no one like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power.
Our God is greater, our God is stronger. You are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God.
And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand again? What could stand again? Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand again? What could stand again? Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is greater, awesome in power. Our God,
hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we worship you. We praise you. We thank you for your goodness. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. We want to remind you of a few things by way of announcement. This coming Sunday, after the Sunday morning service, there is a fundraiser luncheon. Again, this is by donation only. We don't charge. We just put a box out there and let people give out of the goodness of their heart. And we've been raising funds for the youth group. They are planning to go and be a part of the Illinois Youth Convention, and also for Mason, who is going to go on a mission trip this year. Something you've also seen up on the announcements, the rolling announcement, where we've done that. This coming Saturday at South Moon here in Sandwich, if you got everybody likes to eat, right? If you like to eat, raise your hand. Everybody likes to eat. At South Moon this Saturday, from I think 11 a.m. up until 9, is that the time frame? The certain percentage of all the income that they get is going to go towards Mason's missions trip. So it's a big opportunity to have a great fundraiser. Are they also doing the silent auction that night there? There's a silent auction that's happening there as well, items that they've been able to get throughout the community and other places. And so all of that will be there on Saturday, and we encourage you to go and to patronize the establishment there. We go there quite a bit, and it's great food, and you're also supporting a great cause. And so we encourage you to tell your family and friends, if they're going to go to eat on Saturday, tell them, hey, why don't you go to South Moon? We got a young man there that's he's going to get some of the benefit and the proceeds from those meals. And so we encourage you to do that. And a lot of other things up and coming. Please remember to check into the calendar on our Breeze Church Management software so that you can know what is going on and what is happening, and keep you abreast of everything that is happening here at the church, and a lot of other things there on the calendar. But regular scheduled services on Sunday. We are well into our new format, and yeah, we're still working out some of the kinks. But I've been very excited and encouraged by a lot of the feedback and compliments that we've been getting concerning the services and the flow and all that good stuff. And so we're just looking for bigger and better things as we do more. We are continuing the marriage seminar Sunday night at 6 o'clock, and those of you that have been able to be a part of that, what wonderful information, what a good time we've had in learning in that as well. We're going to take some needs to the Lord in prayer. Sister Nancy gave me a couple needs prior to church that she would like for us to pray concerning. A man by the name of Alan Rowland, who has got cancer and terminally ill, not expected to make it. Let's remember Alan Rowland. And then a Larry Van Meter, who has pneumonia and clogged arteries in the heart. Let's remember him in prayer. Anybody else have a prayer request you'd like to bring to the church? Would you slip up your hand, Sister Kellen? All right. Sister D? Yes, certainly. All right. Sister Christy? All right. Certainly do so. Sister Pat? All right. Goodness. Yeah, I certainly remember that situation, certainly. Anybody else? All right, why don't you stand? Let's go to the Lord right now in prayer. Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. Thank you that we can come together, God. Mention these needs, these names before you in prayer, God. I know that there are multiple needs represented here in the house, some spoken, some unspoken, Lord. But for those, God, Lord, put a request out there, Lord, I pray, God, that you would touch these situations that need your help and your strength, your intervention, God, your divine work and move, God, for this young man, God, in the name of Jake, God, dealing with shingles, not able to work, God, I pray, Lord, that you would relieve, God, the pain associated with that, God, you heal his body, God, give him strength, the young man Raymond who's dealing with addiction, God, you are able, Lord, that he would turn to you, God, and find your power and your help, God, to overcome the addiction, God, and do as you would have him to do, God. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We lift up Brother Span before you in prayer, believing and trusting in your power to work and to move. Help, God. Lord, for those unspoken needs of Sister Kellum and Brother Dan Krager, Lord, we know that you know, God, what we have need of before we ask or even think it. And so we cry out unto you, God, Lord, to work and to move in these situations, God, to see your power performed. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you, God, for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace, for your love and your truth. Your precious name, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. Believe it to be done, and everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. We are going to launch out into a new study tonight. Entitled it Boundaries. Have a little bit of, you know, boundaries up here that kind of to add with some visual effect, if you will. I thought about taking the last four pews and marking those off and making everybody sit in the first three pews. A little mischievousness, but I decided I don't want to offend anybody right off the bat with the teaching. So I decided I'd just put the decor up here and not, you know, misplace anybody or have anybody get upset. But I want to talk about boundaries in our life. How many of you believe that boundaries are necessary? Very necessary. We live in a world of boundaries, of lines, of demarcations, fences, borders, those things that define certain areas of responsibility, certain jurisdictions. It was kind of funny. Brother Ryan was talking to Sunday night. He was talking about how that a guy had come up to him and had told him that he was out of his jurisdiction where he was sitting, and then he had to go through the process of showing the man that he was not out of his jurisdiction. And though the lines in that area may be somewhat confusing as to whether it was Sominok or what county or city, and Brother Wallace, who was very astute in that sort of stuff, as you well know, had to set the man straight and tell him that he was well within his right, within his jurisdiction, that the boundary he was in was the correct boundary. And he kind of, once he let the guy know that he was in the right, the guy kind of, you know, backed off a little bit. But boundaries are important. Jurisdictions are important. Areas of authority and responsibility are important. And just as they are in the physical and the natural, if you will, they are important for us spiritually, for us in our day-to-day living, for us in our interactions, in our relationships with other people. Boundaries and those lines of demarcation, those fences and gates are necessary. And we have to do it in such a way that that boundaries are set correctly and appropriately. And we have to be where they are permanent enough that they keep the bad out, but they're permeable enough that they let the good in. That we understand the boundaries are there for a reason. There's a reason why we have defined areas of responsibility. And so that's really what this study is going to be about. It's going to be a deep dive into boundaries. And hopefully it's going to clear up some misconceptions that we have as believers as it pertains to boundaries. So let's look at the Word of God. Let's look at a scripture that's found in Genesis 1:28. This is obviously at the very beginning. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. If you read beyond that, God defines the garden that was in Eden, where it was it. It was eastward in Eden, the Bible says, and defines that these river comes out, and there's four heads of these river, and it names them, and it gives a definitive area, if you will, in the sense of that time. And then if you go down to Genesis 2:15, it says, and the Lord God took man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now, a lot of people have read Genesis because they have attempted some to read the Bible through, and so they start at the beginning naturally. And so there's a lot of people who have read these passages of Scripture in reference to the beginning, in reference to God and His creation. But I want to look at it in the understanding that God is a God of boundaries. God used boundaries from the very beginning. Now think about it in this. God defines the garden, says it's eastward in Eden. He defines it, it's at this place, it's eastward in Eden. And then God creates the animals and then tells Adam it's his responsibility to subdue. He said, replenish the earth, subdue it, you shall have dominion over it. To subdue it and have dominion. That was Adam's responsibility. God created the animals. God created those things. And then he said, Adam, now this is your responsibility. I'm defining your area of responsibility. Now you're to replenish, you're to subdue, you're to have dominion over it. And then God creates the plants. The Bible even says that God causes a mist to rise from the ground to water the plants. Notice he didn't say, Adam, okay, it's your job to water the plants. There's a lot of rivers here. Now you need to go to the rivers and you need to get water and you need to water all these plants. No, the Bible says the Lord God caused a mist to come up from the ground. He watered the plants. But then he told Adam, you're to dress it and to keep it. I'll do my part. You do your part. I have my area of responsibility. You have your area of responsibility. Now, as a side note, it's good to know that we serve a God who always keeps up his end of the bargain. He is always, that's good, he is always doing what he is supposed to do. He is always keeping up with his responsibility. But he says, Adam, you got to dress it and you got to keep it. God also tells Adam what he can eat and what he cannot eat. Every tree, the garden you may freely eat. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is in the midst of the garden, you shall not eat of it. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. So we see that God, from the very beginning, God uses boundaries. God sets lines. He defines responsibility. At the very beginning, God is showing that he is a God of order, that even in his creation, he did things in certain order. There's boundaries. There's lines of demarcation, if you will. It would have been not good had he made the fish before he made the sea for the fish to swim in. Right? There's an order. There's structure. And we see that God uses these boundaries in setting limits. There's limits that are set. This is my responsibility. This is your responsibility. There's limits that are set. There is defining of responsibilities. Adam, you're to subdue, you're to replenish, subdue, have dominion over it. Adam, you're to dress it and to keep it. I'm defining your areas of responsibility. Here's a big one. Saying yes and saying no. You can eat of all these trees. That's a yes. And there's a no. You cannot eat the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil. In the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And here's another thing about boundaries. Holding accountable. In the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And God held Adam accountable. So we see that God sets limits. God defines responsibilities. God says yes, and God says no. Newsflash, and we're going to get into it in a little bit. It's okay as a Christian to tell people no sometimes. It's okay. It's right. It's proper sometimes to look at people and tell them, no, that's not my responsibility. Now, stay with me for a while. Because as Christians, we think that being meek and being pious and all that does not mean that we are a welcome mat for people to walk over. That does not mean that that we take everybody else's responsibilities upon ourselves. That's not what the Bible intended. And hopefully, in the course of the study, I'm going to show you. God is going to help us define through His Word what is our responsibility and what is not our responsibility. Because let's face it, sometimes in our desire, and I believe the motive is pure, to be Christian and to be a good example of a believer, we think that sometimes that being a good example means I just have to give in. And that is not what God intended. Now for some of us, this is going to be liberating. For some of us, as we see how God defines our area of responsibility, there's going to be some freedom in that. There's going to be some freedom in understanding that I shouldn't feel guilty about saying no. Man, it got quiet in here. That it's okay. I can still be a believer and I can still be a Christian and look people and say, no, I'm sorry. That's not my area of responsibility. Let's ask some honest questions. When we think along these lines, and already as I've ventured out into this a little bit, some of these questions have probably already entered your mind. Number one, can I set limits and still be a loving person? Can I set boundaries? Can I set limits in life and still be a loving person? Does being a loving person mean I always have to say yes? Number two, what are legitimate boundaries? What are legitimate boundaries? What are good boundaries to have? When is it right? When is it proper? When is it appropriate for me to set the boundary and say, this is where my responsibility ends? Number three, well, what if someone is upset or hurt by my boundaries? Now, see, here's the thing. And in the Bible, it talks a lot about trespass. And here's what we need to understand about trespass. When we refuse to set boundaries in our life, and we refuse, in the natural we understand. In the natural we see those signs, no trespassing. In the natural we understand, we don't go there. But if I'm not willing to do that in my own life, and I wonder why people are always walking over me, and I wonder why I'm always doing other people's jobs, or I'm venturing out and doing this because I don't want it to fall through the cracks, and I feel like it's going to be a bad reflection upon me. Guess what? We are being willing to not have any posted signs in our life to say, this is where you do not go. I know that some at the beginning, some of this is going to sound like, well, man, he's getting all anti-Christian on me. No, I'm not. We need to understand that the Bible gives us right and responsibilities to set boundaries in our lives. How do I answer someone who wants my time, my energy, or money? How do I set those boundaries? How do I know? In the natural, we're familiar with boundaries. We say things like, well, they've gone too far. What are we saying? They've crossed the boundary. In society, we have moral norms. In society, we have societal norms. And if people venture beyond those, many times they say, well, that's just inappropriate, or that person has gone too far, or that person has said too much, or that's not their business. And so we're very familiar with boundaries in a societal sense. Even in a conduct sense, we understand that there are boundaries. But we also need to understand that in a spiritual sense, there are boundaries. In a spiritual sense, it's okay to put up fences in places. And it's also okay to put up gates in other places. But those things will define, and it will help me regulate, and it will help me through the power of the Word and God in my life. It will help me regulate what needs to stay on the other side of the fence and what I need to let through the gate. Why do I feel guilty or afraid when I consider setting boundaries? I'm going to be mean. If I tell them no, I'm going to be mean. No, it might be that if you keep telling them yes, you just keep enabling the behavior. As you know, I read books. A lot of this is coming from a book that I'm reading, and there was a case in there where this couple came to the man who wrote the book, and they were talking about their son who was in his mid-20s, and they said, "Well, we've got a problem." Said, "We've provided for him, we've given him all this, and we've given him this money, and he'd flunk out of classes, and we get him into another school, and he's into drugs, and he does all this, he doesn't take responsibility, and we really think he's got a problem." He looked back at him and said, "Well, I don't think he has the problem." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, he doesn't have the problem. Life is good for him. He does what he wants to do. There's no consequence for his actions. He doesn't have the problem. You have the problem. You have the problem because you haven't set boundaries. You haven't defined his areas of responsibility. And when he goes outside those areas, you don't hold him accountable. He doesn't have the problem. You have the problem. And he said, the father was like, kind of shocked. He said, "Well, does that mean we stop helping him?" And he said, "How have you helped him?" He's like, it was a light bulb went off in his brain. Oh my goodness. We're not helping him. We're enabling it. We're perpetuating the performance. How do boundaries relate to submission? That's a big one. We believe in submission. We believe it's one of the threads throughout the Bible, is to be submitted and submissive. But how does that relate to boundaries? If I set boundaries, does that mean I'm not being submitted? Here's a big one. Well, aren't boundaries selfish? When I set boundaries, aren't I being a selfish person when I set a boundary? When I tell people no, or when I say no, that's not my area of responsibility, aren't I being selfish? Well, let's hopefully in the course of the study, it'll help you answer some of these questions. And you won't feel guilty. When it's not your area of responsibility, you won't feel guilty for telling someone no. But when it is your area of responsibility, you won't try to push it off on someone else. Ah, see, there's the other side of this coin. Here's the thing. We are living in a society where nobody wants to take responsibility anymore. They want to push it off on somebody else. It's somebody else's responsibility. No, there are things that are my responsibility. There are things that God put in my stewardship and under my control that God says you are accountable for these things. These things are your responsibility. And when I return, you're going to have to give an account. See, that's in there. There are certain things that God has placed in our responsibility. And there are certain things which I will be held accountable to before God. The question is, what are those things? Because if I'm spending a lot of time doing things for which I am not accountable for, it's likely that I'm letting things slip that I am accountable for. See, many sincere, dedicated believers struggle with confusion about when it is appropriate to set limits. When it's time to say enough is enough. When it's time to shut the faucet off and say, "Nope, not getting any more." When it's time to build the fence and say, "Nope, here no further." But I want to be good to a fellow man. Yeah? Well, sometimes being good is establishing the fence. Sometimes some of the best things I can do for somebody is to establish a boundary and hold them accountable when they trespass that boundary. Because here's the thing, if I'm not willing to set boundaries, then why in the world do I sit back and wonder why I'm always being trespassed against? Set the boundaries. Be willing to make a line, draw the line, say, "Here it is." In a desire to do the right thing and to avoid conflict, we often end up taking on problems God never intended us to take on. And let me stop right here and say this. often in a relationship, there are two people. There is one who is the more submissive. There's the one who is the more okay, as long as we keep the peace. And there's the other that takes advantage of that. Now, nobody's saying anything, but I see a lot of people going, That's true. That's true. And we need to understand that it works both ways. I need to take responsibility. I need to set some boundaries. But on the other hand, if that other individual in relationship is not one that is prone to setting boundaries, I do not take it upon myself to decide, well, I'm going to continually transgress because they don't care about putting boundaries up. Or they're weaker. Or they're more submissive. Man, I know it's going to get tight in here, but confusion of responsibility and ownership in our lives is a consequence of misplaced boundaries. What do I own? What did God place into my care? What do I own? What's my area of responsibility? There's sometimes I look at people and say, you need to own it. What am I saying? That's yours. That's not mine. That's yours. Own it. I full well know in a few years, those kind of conversations are going to come up. Right now, I don't have any teenagers. But in the not too distant future, I will. And there are times when I'm going to have to look at them and say, you got to own this. This is your responsibility. As you're growing up and you're maturing, guess what? God is enlarging your borders, and God is giving you more accountability and responsibility, and you have to own this. It's not mine. It's yours. Just as we are familiar with boundaries in the natural, we need to learn to set correct mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual boundaries for our lives to help us distinguish what is our responsibility and what is not. What's on me and what's not on me? What do I own and what do I not own? We need a biblical view of boundaries, what they are, what they protect, how they are developed, how they are broken, how to repair them, and how to use them. Because God is a God of boundaries. And we need to understand the biblical view of boundaries. What are appropriate boundaries? Where do I put them? Where are they to be set up? How do I use them? In what boundaries do I place gates and allow things to come in? Oh yeah, we could just all build a wall and nothing goes in, nothing goes out. We won't minister, we won't grow, we won't develop. We won't mature. We'll stay exactly where we are. We won't possess any more territory for the kingdom of God. But if we understand that I, with the help of God, I can enlarge the borders. I can make sure that I'm setting boundaries in the right places. That certain territory is, he is enlarging and he's helping me to develop and grow. And there are certain gates, there are certain access that I allow and certain access that I do not allow. There are certain places I go and certain places I do not go. There are certain relationships I have and certain relationships I do not have. Boundaries. Think about it. Think about the Bible. Think about much of the New Testament. The Apostle Paul is writing, trying to help the church with boundaries. Here are the boundaries. In a spiritual sense, boundaries are just as real and necessary. However, seeing where those boundaries are or should be placed, it's not always easy. How do I do it right? I don't want to jeopardize my witness. I don't. I don't want to be mean-spirited. I don't want to be ugly. I don't want to hurt people intentionally. I don't want to go around offending people. That's not the motive behind this. But I also don't want to throw everything open and just take it all upon myself. Because guess what? Other people are hurt like that too. My family gets hurt. Other people in my life get hurt because I'm exhausted. And I'm doing all this. And I'm running here and I'm running there. And I don't have enough boundaries in my life to say no. Boundaries define us. What is me and what is not me. Where I and my responsibility ends. All right? Pastor, if you can show me in the Bible where responsibility is, where my responsibility ends, and that's going to help me, because maybe I'm doing stuff outside my responsibility, and maybe I need to concentrate upon more of what God has placed under my responsibility. Why? Because there's a freedom in knowing what I own and what I'm responsible for. What's on me and what's not on me. What I own and what I don't own. What God says you're accountable for and what I'm not accountable for. Like I said earlier, if I'm constantly doing stuff and just trying to keep the peace and avoiding conflict, and I don't want to be mean-spirited and I don't want to hurt anybody, and those are all good motives, and I understand all of that. But if I'm not careful, I become that individual that everybody else looks to and everybody else is prying at and everybody else is putting stuff on. And before long, the weight of it all, before long, all the responsibility, and much of it not my own, I now take upon myself, keeps me downtrodden, discouraged, feeling like life is just one big weight that I'm carrying around all the time. Well, let Pastor help you get some of that weight off of you. And for some others who feel like it's everybody else's responsibility to take care of you, well, there's going to be some in there for you too. Why? Because it's God's intention and it's God's design that we all have an area of responsibility. Now, it's admitted and it's given severally as He will. He decides what is my responsibility. He shows me through His word what is my responsibility. And if I can understand that, if I can look in His word and I can define through His word what areas are my areas of responsibility and what I need to do, what I am accountable for, then there's a freedom in that. Because that's stuff that I'm not accountable for. Before long, I hope you'll start agreeing with me. Why? Because often we hold ourselves accountable for things God does not. Whoo! We wonder why we're frustrated. Wonder why we don't have the joy in living for the Lord that we used to have. I've said it before. Some of the best preaching is not met with an amen. Because it's real. I'm frustrated, and all this responsibility that I take upon my shoulders to make sure everything happens. See, this is good for me. This is good for me. I'm talking about me as pastor. It's good for me because there's certain things, and I'm not up here trying to pass the buck. What I'm doing is there's certain things that I've got to learn to delegate and understand. I really shouldn't be taking on that responsibility. I won't stay long there. Think about this. What if you were taken into a large field? Now, we can readily associate that here in the Midwest. I was thinking tonight as I was driving from Sheridan here into Sandwich, and I looked out on some of those fields, and it's just, I mean, as far as you can see, just flat field. Obviously, it's been harvested, so it's all just flat field. What if somebody were to take you out in the middle of one of those big, large, open fields and instructed you to take care of the property, to guard it diligently, and that you would be responsible for what happened to it upon the return? This is your area of responsibility. Out in this large field, big open area, an individual tells you, this is your responsibility. You got to guard it. You got to cultivate it. You got to keep up with it. This is your responsibility. However, they did not tell you the boundaries of the property. They didn't tell you how far in that direction their property went. They didn't tell you whether or not their property extended all the way to that tree line. They didn't give you anything. They didn't give you anything. They didn't give you any farming equipment. They didn't give you anything to cultivate the land. They didn't tell you where the boundaries were. They didn't tell you how far off this side you could plant and how close the rows had to be. They didn't give you any definition. They didn't define what your responsibility was. They didn't even tell you what you were to plant. They just said they were going to come back and expect a return. That'd be pretty frustrating. That'd be pretty confusing. All right. Where do I start? I don't know how far the property goes. What defines the northern border? What defines the southern boundary? Where's the west boundary? Where's the, I don't know. This would lead to a lot of confusion and frustration. But unfortunately, this is how many people are attempting to serve God and serve others. we're doing a work for God. Well, where does your work end? What defines your field of labor? I don't know. I'm just doing work for God. I'm just loving people and serving people and serving. Okay, well, what's your area of responsibility? I don't know. I'm just loving God and loving people. That's good. Glad that you love God and you love people. What people are you directly impacting and influencing? What's your circle of influence? I think it's maybe definitely my family. Okay? At what point? When the family no longer become your responsibility, you're no longer responsible for them and the decisions that they make. If that was defined a little bit better in our society, there'd be a lot less failures to launch. God wants us to know the boundaries that define our field of labor. He wants you to know your area of responsibility. He wants you to know what He's going to hold you accountable for. Guess what? God's not holding me accountable for the whole world. Why? It'd be impossible. It would be impossible. I couldn't meet, if I met a person a second, I wouldn't meet everybody that was on the face of the earth right now for some 600 years. God, I'm not responsible for the whole world. God never intended that the weight of the world be upon my shoulders. There was only one man with shoulders big enough to carry that burden. And it is not me. And it is not you. But there is some burden and there is some load that God expects each and every one of us to carry. And this is why the Bible would say things like this, which in our day and age, we look at on the surface and we scratch our head. The Apostle Paul said, if he doesn't work, he doesn't eat. It's in there. Read it. Why? Because the Apostle Paul knows starvation is a pretty big motivator for work. If I've got to work to eat, guess what? I'm either going to work or die. Now, understand this. There are some that do not have that availability. There are some that God wants us to take responsibility because they can't carry that burden. They are not able to do. There are some who are physically unable to work. But dare I say, and we all know, there are a lot more who are able to work that do not. And they expect other people to take that responsibility. And I'm sorry, I don't have to feel guilty when I walk by someone who has the capability to provide for themselves. And just because they... Now, careful now. If somebody has the capability of being able to work, I should not feel guilty that for some reason I should compulsorily give my money to them. But if I know that someone does not have that availability and they cannot, and I do have the means, guess what? That's a whole other ballgame. It's understanding my area of responsibility. It's understanding that God has placed things in my stewardship and in my care. And it is not the whole world. But it is a piece. It is a certain area. It is an area of responsibility that God has placed upon me. And I will be held accountable. I will. Guess what? It's not anybody else's responsibility to provide for my wife and my kids. It is not the government's responsibility. Now, I'm going to be straight up.
The Bible says, if a man provides not for his own and those of his own household, he is worse than an infidel. Why? Because that's his responsibility. And as long as he has the capability to do so. I know this ain't popular, but this is the word of God. There are boundaries in life, and I need to understand that I better operate appropriately in those boundaries, and I better understand my areas of responsibility, and I better make sure I am doing those things that God has placed under my care and in my stewardship. And those other things that are outside my responsibility, if I want to help and I want to assist, that's all well and that's all good, but I'm not held accountable for those things, and I better make sure that things I am held accountable for, I am doing right. I know I'm getting all preachy, but that's what it's about. There are boundaries. There are responsibilities. God wants us to know what and who we are responsible to. Understand this, and to what and or who we are responsible for. There's a difference. Who I am responsible to, who or what I am responsible to, who or what I am responsible for. There is a difference. And God wants us to know. He wants you to know. There are areas that you're responsible for. There are people that you are responsible. In closing, you can stand to your feet. Next study we're going to look at, just what is a boundary? What defines a boundary? And here's one of the things. When we look at the scripture, Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, I believe it is, it says, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And we look at that scripture and we think, well, if I'm not helping someone out with their burden, then I am not fulfilling the law of Christ. But we need to understand the difference between a burden and a load. A burden, Greek definition understanding, is a boulder, something that can crush, something that is huge, large. Bear ye one another's burdens. In other words, help someone with a burden that is too much for them themselves. How do we know this? So fulfill the law of Christ. Listen, Christ did for us what we could not do for ourselves. Understand that. He did for us what we could not do for ourselves. He, through what he did in his sacrifice, he made it possible for us to have salvation. We could never do that in and of ourselves. The burden of sin was too great. It was a boulder that we would never remove ourselves. And so we need Christ. We need his sacrifice to lift that burden of sin from off of our shoulders. That's the law of Christ. That's the burden. But there's also, the Bible also says that we are all to carry our own load. In other words, we have an air of responsibility. What gets confused many times is that some people try to make you think that their load is your burden. Woo! And that's not biblical. I'm going to say that again. Sometimes people try to make you think that their load is your burden. And that is not biblical. If it is a burden and it is something more than they can take care of themselves, then yes, we are scripturally and biblically obligated to help them and to assist them and to bear their burden with them. But if it's their load, and I'm going to continually help them with their load, guess what? I'm not fulfilling the law of Christ. And guess what? I am actually working against biblical precepts. And I am not helping them. I am hurting them. Lord Jesus, we love you. God, sometimes your word talks straight. But Lord, it helps us to understand. Lord, I pray that there will be those in the sound of my voice that would find such freedom and find such liberty and understanding, Lord, that there are boundaries. We don't have to be just yes men and women all the time, Lord. We don't have to let others run all over us because they see us as these Christians that they can get stuff over on, Lord. And we don't need to be mean-spirited about it. We do need to be loving, and we need to manifest fruit of the Spirit, and we need to be long-suffering. But Lord, we need to understand our air of responsibility. And Lord, we do need to help those that have a burden, something they cannot lift on their own. And we do need to assist. And we do need to do everything within our power to help and to bear one another's burden and so fulfill your law. Lord, when it comes to their load, God, and their air of responsibility, Lord, help me to understand that there's a fence, there's a boundary. And Lord, sometimes when I attempt to help them with their load, Lord, I have biblically trespassed. Because, Lord, there's sometimes that in my pure motive, my longing to help, Lord, there are sometimes which I put off and I myself thwart the law of reaping and sowing. Lord, I don't want to stand in the way. I want to know what my air of responsibility is, to know the boundaries that are biblical and are right and operate appropriately and accordingly in those boundaries in accordance with your will. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.